Okay, if you'll turn back there with me to Matthew 14. In verse 22, it says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." Now the multitudes are those that he had just fed, the 5,000 he had just fed with a few fish and a few loaves. And they saw by natural sight. And they had their natural appetites filled. And their will was to take Christ by natural force, by their will, and make him their king. And straightway, his first order of business was, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. It is by the effectual constraining command of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Spirit of God, that every believer is in the ship that we are in. We are in the fellowship of faith in this body over which Christ is the head, the authority, God over all, blessed forever. And we're each going through this sea called life by the direct order and command of Jesus Christ. And every individual trial that we're in is by His direct authority, not just allowed, but sent. Every one of them. And they are done for this purpose, to cause us not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. To go before Him to the other side. To go before Him. We, as we go, the way He has sent us and effectually made us to go, we go before Him, before the omniscient, omnipresent, all-knowing, all-seeing eye of Christ, our God, our Savior. He is the authority by which the work of salvation is accomplished, and the salvation of all His people. And that's what He's going to teach us when He delivers us to the other side, or as He's delivering us to the other side. First of all, we see here Christ Jesus is God, omnipresent. Now that's just a big way of saying He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Verse 23 says, "When He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a spirit.' And they cried out for fear." Now, as we behold Jesus gone up into this mountain alone, and then we see Him come unto them, as we hear them say, "Behold, it's a spirit," and they're we behold that this man, Jesus, born at Nazareth, is the Christ, the Son of God. He is indeed the omnipresent, ever-present Son of God in heaven and in our midst. Can God be in two places at once? God's everywhere at once. God is everywhere at once. So the man Christ Jesus is in heaven and He's in the midst of His people. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, was in the earth. God manifest in human flesh. And at the same time, Scripture says He never left the bosom of the Father. The Scripture says He's seated in the heavens right now. And at the same time, He says to every believer, "Lo, behold, I am with you always." He's our ever-present advocate in the very presence of the Father in glory. And at the same time, He's our ever-present help in this sea of life. Christ Jesus is indeed the Son of God, the ever-present God of heaven and of earth, in heaven and in earth. Verse 23 says, "When He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone." We're in the evening of this world right now. And just as real as the man, Christ Jesus, went into that earthly mountain apart to pray, He is right now in His holy mountain. And He alone is our advocate with the Father. Now you think about this. You think how we love to be in the know. And how we love to be with in the one that's highly regarded, amongst the ones that's highly regarded. We like to know somebody. Well, the disciples didn't want to part from this multitude. They had no desire to part from this multitude. Why not? You think of the pride of being known as the closest companions of this one who just fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and fishes. Can you think of the pride that filled their hearts as they began to see these people talk about Him and say, "We want to take Him and make Him our king"? Was that nothing but walking by sight and not by faith? Does it take just a few multitudes, just a little impressionable thing to cause us to start wanting to join with the multitude and walk by sight and not by faith? And so our Savior went up into the mountain apart to pray. John said, "My little children, my little children." He talked like He was a father to them, didn't He? "My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, if any believer sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Christ Jesus is the satisfaction, the propitiation, the redemption, the atonement, the very satisfaction of God in the presence of God. In God's holy mountain, in God's holy hill, in God's very presence, just like He went up into that earthly mountain and was the advocate for those disciples who were in their flesh sinning against God Almighty by attempting to walk by sight and not by faith. And He was the one there interceding on their behalf, because He is the advocate with the Father. He's doing that right now in glory. His presence is our advocacy. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And here's the second thing we see. Christ is the Word of truth, the Spirit of God, the Word who speaks into our hearts that keeps us from the evil of unbelief. At the same time that He's the Advocate speaking with the Father, He is the Word speaking in the heart of His people. Matthew 14:24 says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." He put them in that ship. Why does He put us in this ship of trial? How appropriate is it that right now boisterous winds are blowing? How appropriate is it? And it's so easy to be distracted by them. I've had people tell me, "I'm so distracted when I'm there with you, I'm not going to come back. I'm going to just listen to you on some other, on the internet." It's going to take God to save us from the distractions. It's going to take the One who's the Advocate with the Father, our acceptance with God, to speak into our hearts and cause us to stop walking by sight and walk by faith in Him. That's what it's going to take. Oh, why did He put them in that ship? Why did He put them in the midst of that fire, that fierce wind, that boisterous wind? Why did He put them there? Right there. Why did He put them there? Why'd He leave them in this world? Why'd He leave you in this world? Why has He put us right here where we are? He prayed the Father when He was on this earth in John 17. And He said, "Father, I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but Thou shouldest keep them from the evil." They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. And He said, "Sanctify them. Keep them from the evil through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." Now look at this in verse 25. "In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." Now you mark this word and you get a hold of this word and you get this word down in your heart. Let me get it down in my heart right now. Jesus went up into the mountain. He is raised again for our justification. He is the righteous establishment of the precept of His own law. He is the answer to the justice of His own law. He is the altar that whereby He purges every offering of His people. But we couldn't even purge our conscience from the dead works of lies, from the dead works of trying to walk by sight, from the dead works of looking into this book and trying to find life in it, from the dead works of trying to come to Him by our will and force Him to be our King, from the dead will of false knowledge and false wisdom and false understanding. We couldn't purge our conscience from that. And you can't purge your conscience from it now. Try to. You can't do it. But you get a hold to this. At the same time, Jesus went unto them. And He went unto them walking on the sea. They were in the clutches of the storm, they thought. That's all they could see was the storm and the wind and the waves. And that's what we think when we look at the natural thing we can see with this eye. That's what we think. But that's never the case. Not for the believer. That is never the case for the believer. We're under the direct lordship and protection of Christ Jesus, God our Savior. And that's how it is. The waves of the world only serve the purpose of our God to teach us exactly how ever-present He is and how ever-powerful He is to save us from them. They're His winds. They're His seas. They're His trials that He sends. He comes walking on the storm to each one to teach us how absolutely in control our Christ Savior, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, that man, how truly He is God in control of everything. Right now you might be so troubled that all you can see is the waves and storm. So much so that you can't make yourself enter into this glorious good news. You can't find any rejoicing in your own heart over it. The disciples couldn't do that for themselves, and they couldn't do that for one another. They had walked with Him in the flesh. They had seen Him with the eye. They had handled Him with their own hands. And yet, right here in the midst of this storm, they're so troubled and they're so overwhelmed that they can't do anything but just look with those natural eyes and say, "I think it's a spirit," and cry out for fear. Who'd they cry to? They just cried. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, verse 26, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway, watch this, Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." You see, God the voice who walked in the garden in the very beginning is the Word of peace. He is the voice who speaks through the gospel into the hearts of His children, and He is the very Word, the very truth, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We can't separate the Word from the gospel, from the Spirit, from the voice, from the life, from Christ Jesus, the God-man. It is our God. He is our God. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Look over at John 14. John 14. And verse 25. "These things which I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you," that's what He told. He told them a lot of things. And He said, "I've said these things to you. I've spoken these things to you. And I'm right here present with you." Verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance." What things? "Whatsoever I have said unto you." Now what is all that going to do? Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now look at chapter 16 in verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Doesn't that sound familiar? Isn't that what He just said when He came to them on the sea? Look there again. Straightway He spake to them and He said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." How's this peace going to enter into their hearts? Well, next we're going to get a very personal example between Peter and the Lord Jesus Himself. And here's the third thing I want you to see, brethren. Christ is faithful. Christ is the faithfulness whereby the believer never perishes, though our faith be ever so little. Now, the Lord spake. He spake. He had gone up. He's in the mountain of God. He's in the presence of God. He speaks to God. And He comes to the believer in the midst of the trial that He's put us in to keep us from that evil of walking by sight rather than faith. And when we're troubled and in the midst of all that, He speaks. And this is to us and in us. And this is how we get that peace back. Now watch this. The Lord spake in verse 28, and Peter answered Him. Didn't the Lord say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me"? Peter heard the voice and he recognized the voice. Verse 28, Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." This is not unbelief. This is not unbelief. This is faith. Peter's desire was to draw nearer to his Lord. "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. Bid me to draw nearer to you." And Peter believed that he could do all things through the Lord who strengthens him. He said, "Bid me to come unto you on the water." Is that not your desire, believer? Isn't it? That's my desire. "Lord, I want to come to you on the water. I want to draw nearer to you. I want to know that you will keep me and hold me and protect me and bring me to yourself. Lord, draw me. I want to draw nearer to you." If that's your desire, then be sure we get this next lesson. Lord, teach me this lesson. Notice the Lord did not stop the wind. He did not calm the sea first, but in the midst of it, verse 29, he said to Peter, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You see, drawing near to Christ in the full assurance of faith is not doing so when He makes the sea to look like a concrete sidewalk. It's not. It's not waiting until God has calm the sea and calm the wind. He will do that in just a moment. We're going to see. We're going to see what the result of this whole lesson was. But it's not waiting until we're increased with multitudes who are singing His praises and joining in with us in 5,000 like there was there. But while we are but a few in the ship, it's not waiting until others in the ship with us say, "Lord, I believe you. Bid me to come to you on the water." Nobody else in the ship said that. Peter heard his voice and Peter said, "Lord, bid me to come." It's hearing his voice yourself personally and saying, regardless of what the rest think, "Lord, I hear you. Bid me to come. Bid me to trust you. Bid me to walk. Bid me to walk by faith and not by sight." Drawing near in full assurance of faith is doing so even when to all natural sight, to all everyone around us, there appears absolutely no way of doing so. Of drawing near to Him. That's walking by faith. Not by sight. Drawing near is doing so because we've heard His voice and we believe when He says one word, "Come." Now, next, we see in Peter what we do in our unbelief. What it is and what the result of it will be. Verse 30, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid." He looked away from Christ and he looked to the wind. He saw how strong it was raging upon that sea. And fear of the sea filled his heart, rather than the fear of God. He sanctified that sea in his heart rather than sanctifying Christ in his heart. In other words, he gave glory to that sea to be the all-dominant power, that thing he could see with this natural eye, that thing he could touch with this natural hand, that thing that he could put his hand on and say, this is my life or this is my death. He gave that the glory, and he looked away from Christ the life who is the glory. And when we do that, that's unbelief. And every time we do that, it's why we start to sink down. Every time. But here's the cry of faith. And when he was beginning to sink, he cried saying, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. All the pretty words are gone. All the language that sounds just right's gone. All the trying to craft everything just so it sounds like it ought to sound is gone. It's nothing now but just a child of need crying out, Lord, save me. It's very personal. This crying is as personal as that command to come. Personal. Lord, save me. And here's the faithfulness whereby the believer is made to stand. Verse 31. And immediately, straightway, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Is your faith great or little? This is the Apostle Peter he's talking to. And he says, O thou of little faith. Wherefore do we doubt? Why do we doubt? God is faithful. If we don't believe Him, He abides faithful. He's going to save His children from the awful, evil sin of unbelief. That's what He's doing in this whole thing. That's what He's doing now in our midst. That's what He's doing with your pastor and my family. Verse 32, and when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Now He's done. And He stopped it all. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, didn't they already know that? Don't you already know that? Don't I already know that? But when He's brought us to the other side of this current sea of trial, that's when we're going to know. That's when we're really going to come and worship Him and say, of a truth, thou art indeed the Son of God. You're God. You are God. Now I want you to get these three things. Get these three things. Number one, the Lord Jesus put us in the ship of faith, in the ship of His church, over which He is the head and the authority, both in heaven and in earth. And He has, by the same token, put us in the trial. He has. And He's done so to separate us from the evil of walking by sight, to walk by faith in the midst of this stormy tribulation called life. That's why He left us here. And that's mercy and that's grace. That's great mercy and that's grace. It's not pleasant. They were scared. They thought they were going to die. It's not pleasant. But it is mercy and it is grace. Pete, you remember when you felt like there's nothing you could do to provide for your family? There's nothing I can do to provide for God's family. I get a lot. Being a pastor is the one thing everybody feels like they can tell you how to do it. I'd be foolish to tell y'all with teenage children how to raise teenage children. I ain't ever done it. But I know who can teach me. And I know how, if this provision's going to be made, it's going to be made through this gospel word, through Him speaking this peace into the heart to declare to you and I, He is our advocate in glory, as He is perfect, accepted, holy God in heaven. He has made us perfect and accepted in Him, and that is how we are right now, even though we're in this ship, in this current tribulation of life. And I'll tell you what, when he, this is the second thing to get, He's omnipresent. He is there and He is here, and He is the Word whereby He speaks into our hearts, and He makes us to know, Lord, You are indeed peace. Oh, when he delivers us and He brings that peace into our heart, whether it's in the midst of the trial or He's just worked everything and made the trial to stop so miraculously that we can't help but just fall down and say, God, You are the Son of God. Either way He does it. When He does that, I'll tell you what we can do. We can walk on water. We can walk on water. Satan can hurl his darts. All he wants to hurl his darts. All the winds can come at us. All the distractions can come at us. And we can walk on the water. We have the helmet of salvation covering our head. We have the armor of righteousness on us. We have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And we are freshly anew made to know that we cannot fail because of Christ Jesus, our God. And this is the third thing. He makes us to always know, though we go back again and we just see some multitudes and we start looking again at those things we can touch and taste and handle and feel and get a hold of, and looking at those things and want to join in with all those multitudes that would separate us from God, He won't let us be separated from Him. He is faithful and He will not suffer us to fail, even though we're full of unbelief. Unbelief is mixed with everything we do. You get that now? He put us in the trial to teach us that. He's God omnipresent in heaven and in earth, who is the Word, who is the Word with God and the Word of peace in our heart. And by His faithfulness, He shall not fail us. But there's one more thing. There's one more thing. When He's brought us to this, individually and as a body of believers, when He's really brought us to that place, so that we walk by faith and not by sight, more and more walk by faith and not by sight. You know what He'll do? He'll begin healing right in our midst. Look at verse 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of Him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto Him all that were diseased. And He besought Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. But you see, those disciples had to be prepared by His grace so that they could get over there to that place and Christ could continue His work of healing so that He gets all the glory and they don't walk around with their chest poked out thinking they did something. Isn't that right? Oh. Let's pray. Oh, blessed Son of God, we pray now You'd come. Be that peace in our heart. We pray now that You'd speak that word of peace. Command us to come. Command us to step forth nearer unto You. Command us to step out of that awful, evil, sinful unbelief into the light of faith. Beholding that You shall not fail us. Beholding that we are secure. Oh, though the storm rage, the storm is Yours. Though the winds are boisterous, oh, You're stronger. Though everything might seem to be against us, though all hell may set itself against us, Lord, You have hell hedged about. Cause us to know that. Cause us to know that as You have laid down Your life, as You have poured out Your life's blood, and as You have entered into God's presence right now, and we are as there with You, just as more real than we can even enter into, God, cause us to know, even right now, in the midst of this tribulation, in the midst of our frailty and our unbelief, Lord, that You shall not fail us. Lord, we pray this for Your name's sake alone. We pray this for the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we ask You now, Lord, come. Come. And bid us walk on the water. Bid us draw near to You. Lord, forgive us our sin. Forgive us our unbelief. We ask it in Your precious name. Amen. Eric, let's sing Be Thou My Vision.